Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I'm your host, Jim Gilhouse, standing in for Troy Dooley this morning. Troy's on his way to the Catalyst Conference, which is a perfect segue to what this show is going to be about this morning. This morning's show is about the love priorities, and leaders understand that activity is not necessarily accomplishment. However, setting priorities helps us to determine that fact, and Troy, priority for this morning is driving up to Atlanta, and I'm the one standing in and filling in here on the mic this morning. So we're gonna talk a little bit about how setting up our priorities can make a huge difference in our business and in our life. All right. Number one, I mean, if we think about people like Stephen Covey, who've written countless books on getting our lives organized, and you think about how you can set priorities, and those priorities determine the necessity of events to accomplish a day. It reminds me of an age-old story that I first witnessed as a college student, where the instructor walks into the room, puts a gallon pickle jar up on the podium, and commences to fill the pickle jar with a bunch of rather large rocks. And he looks at the class and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I contest that the pickle jar is full. What do you think?" And, you know, a bunch of people said, "Yeah, it's full." And some said, "Well, I don't know if it is or not." And he reaches down, he grabs another jar, and he starts to dump some gravel into the pickle jar, shake it around and fill the gravel into the pickle jar. And then he again repeats the statement. He says, "Well, I present to you that the pickle jar is full. What do you think?" At this point, yeah, less people were eager to jump on the fact that, yeah, it's full, and more would say, "Well, there might be room for a little bit more." At that point, he pulled up a bottle of sand and dumped sand into it, shook the sand in until it was completely full with sand. And he said, "Yet again, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the fact that this pickle jar is full. It won't hold any more. What do you think?" And there was at least one smart guy in the class, it wasn't me, who made the comment, "You can always add water." And that's exactly what he did. He reached down and he grabbed some water and he topped it off with water. And the moral of the story, as he related it to us, was that if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in. And that analogy goes hand in hand with the age-old philosophy of how do you eat an elephant, i.e. one bite at a time. But in order to do it, you have to prioritize the order in which you take on the pieces. And the order in which that you take on the pieces can have a huge influence on how successfully you're able to accomplish literally anything. Because if you're not breaking it down with the most important, relevant events first, you can't get anything accomplished. Because you're constantly trying to do things that are less important than others in an out-of-sequence order, and you wind up with nothing more than chaos. Chaos is never going to help us in any way that we do anything in life. The ironic thing about the law of priority is this is a relatively simple law. It's a relatively
quick law in the book of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Ideally, some of the lessons that we can get from this, some of the questions that we can ask ourselves about this. What's required of me? What gives me the greatest return? And what brings the greatest reward? Those are the three simplest steps in evaluating priorities. Once we've evaluated the priorities, then it falls on a very simple process of plan, do, review, repeat. Because if we lay out a plan, we stick to the plan, we review the success that we're having as a result of that plan after we've done that plan, and then we repeat that process over and over again by reestablishing the priorities as necessary on a daily basis, it gives us the optimal effect on accomplishing literally anything and everything that we want to within our life on a daily basis. You know, it's one of those things where we are in total control of the situation. There's a lot of things that are going on around us all the time. We always have to make room in our schedule for the unexpected. But if you've got priorities based on this needs to be accomplished, you can juggle the lesser important things around those things that pop up unexpected in your life. We can't control 100% of the things that happen to us in our life, but we can definitely control 100% of the way we react to those things that happen to us in our life. And that's how allowing the ability to be flexible and juggle less important items is, you know, based on our priorities can be so impactful, so powerful, not just in our business, but in our relationships with others, within our relationships with our loved ones, because these priorities allow us to stay focused and keep the things that are most important in our life in their proper perspective. Perspective can be so huge in terms of how we interpret these things. Because if you allow something that's not a priority to become a priority, then you're setting yourself up for distraction after distraction after distraction. And I know that priorities can sometimes be different based on our own personal life's experience. You know, I've got a list of priorities in the way that I live my life that isn't necessarily the same as it is for everyone else. Every person has their own list of the things in life that are important to them. And this is kind of a perfect segue for me to open up the lines and invite a couple of our normal contributors to break down their top five priorities in their life with us and why those things are important. But to give you an example, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go first so I can relate this in a manner where you can understand where I'm coming from. Because if you understand where I'm coming from, then it makes it easier to understand how and what I'm talking about in terms of priorities. I'm going to give you the top six in my life. God, family and friends, business, team, extended family, teaching and flying my team and students, creative development, radio, books and articles, play hard, travel, and just enjoy life. Those are the priorities in the order in which that I believe that they're important within my life. And that's not necessarily the case with everybody. But I'm going to start by asking Mr. Mark Layton to share his priorities. And folks, you got to understand that none of the people that I'm asking to do this, they didn't know this was coming, and this is completely unscripted for them. So, Mark, would you be willing to entertain our guests with the top five priorities in your life?
Okay, and Jim, first of all, I want to thank you for calling me normal. You said normal contributors. Some of my friends would just say, well, but that's okay. to me, first is family. Second is my maker or God. Third in importance is my health and my personal being. Fourth would be my civic responsibilities, including, you know, the country and the town that I live in. And fifth on the list is business, because the business doesn't really matter if the other things aren't taken care of first. That's my list.
I think that's excellent. I think it's very insightful as to how you're sharing why the priorities are important to you. All right, let's move on to young Mr. Hansis. Johnny, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay,
what about you, sir?
First and foremost is family. Next is the extended family. Third is going to be health and fitness. And then fourth, I don't know if I have a fifth. Fourth is structuring my way to own my own time. I really can't say that I have a fifth. At least I haven't figured one out. It'd probably be cars or something like that.
Okay, so hobbies and interests of that nature type thing.
Right, exactly. But the way I view it in that order is because family, they're only here for so long, and all we do is talk about time on this radio show, so time is of the essence when it comes to the family. Let's see, the next would be friends and family. I mean, you know, there's only so many friends that you could have in your life that actually love, support, and care for you, have no judgment against you, no malice against you, and they're an extremely important part of life when it comes to support. Third, health and fitness. How are you going to be able to enjoy that time with those people if you don't take care of yourself? I mean, you know, you could be one of the most wealthiest people in the world when it comes to financial status, but if you're in a wheelchair, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, I understand that some people, you know, have bad cards dealt to them, but if you're, you know, just drinking all the time and not eating healthy and not cherishing your body as the temple that it is, and it's actually going to give you the vehicle support in order to move through your life and do what you want, you know, you're missing out on the other two. And then so last but not least, you know, number four is, you know, getting the business together, getting yourself in a situation where you can become financially independent, because that's where you'll truly have the capabilities to go ahead and do anything you wish with your life without even having to take a glance at it. I mean, I don't know how many people actually sit there and say, well, I can't afford that. You know, I don't have the time to do this. Well, you know, but the first concept that always comes in anybody's thought process when they're trying to figure out vacation time, you know, some people can't even afford to go, you know, buy the good food that they need for their bodies, you know. And I mean, I could go on and on forever, but, you know, those are my top four. And then, you know, last but not least, I would say cars, just because that's just a hobby of mine. It's a passion. You know, cars never talk back to you. You know, they just give you crap.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's have a little round table here. We're about halfway through the show at this point. And let's talk a little bit about the concept of how we establish the priorities in our life and what you do to stay on track and stay focused with those. Mark, I'm going to let you go first.
Well, you know, I have, I'm a little older than John, as wise as he is, and I've been through a lot, and I have seen you know, illness come to my family and leave through a combination of medicine and faith, because we just would not allow it to establish a beachhead. And when you go through something like that, you know, I came to the conclusion, I'll share, it was actually my wife went through breast cancer about 15 years ago. I decided right then and there that if it wasn't life and death, it just wasn't. And so family took, you know, may have been, you know, like misplaced at one point in my life, but it never was misplaced again after that. That's number one, period. And because when you look at the possibility of losing what you have, you value it even more. So that's how I came to that realization. And, you know, the rest, it was just like, you know, if I hadn't had my faith, it wouldn't have pulled me through that. So God was second, you know. I had to be well, and I have to stay well.
No, stop. Mark, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You misunderstood what I was asking you to do. What I'm asking you to do is, on a daily basis, what are some of the techniques that you use to establish your priorities and stay on focus? Because I know you're very involved with civic duties and things of that nature by being, you know, the president of your local chamber of commerce and some other things. So I know just how busy you are in terms of, you know, all the things that you've got going on in your life. How do you juggle the priorities to set those up on a daily basis? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, the actual physical act of doing that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I sit down once a week on a Sunday, and I establish, you know, what I would like to get done for the week. Obviously, what I'm going to do in a week, I cannot do in a whole, you know, in one day. So I break it down and I prioritize, you know, based on a calendar of, you know, how it interfaces with other people's needs and deadlines or whatever. And every night I review that and set about, you know, a task orientation or list for the next day. I try to get as much of it done as I can, but I never beat myself up if I miss one or two. You know, those one or two items that were supposed to be Monday become Tuesday, and just roll forward.
Okay, that's excellent. That's, yeah. It's basically through the concept of organization that we're able to establish these things. And do you use a day planner, Mark?
I absolutely do. I have, you know, some people do it on Outlook. They're really good at that. But I can't, you know, I'm out and about a lot, and I can't carry that, you know, digital world in my head all the time. I don't have a laptop or a BlackBerry because I feel I do enough emailing and other things when I'm home. But I do have a day planner that goes with me, and it's divided into weeks and days, you know, with a lot of room to write in and keep track of everything that's going on and roll forward and roll back and just make sure I stay on track that way. You have to. You can't trust your memory as good as your memory might be.
I couldn't agree more. John, what about you? How do you stay focused? I know you're very busy with the things that you've got going on in your life, working as an instructor pilot, you know, carrying on a business of your own, and traveling back and forth between Alabama and Eastern Georgia on a regular basis. There's a lot of things that are going on in your life. What do you do on a daily basis to keep things on track and to keep things moving forward?
Just one simple sentence. You got to be in love with the process. If you're not in love with the process, you're not going to be able to do it, and you're not going to have the energy or time to figure out how to do it. So, you know, and I guess being in love with the process.
Explain what you mean by that for the benefit of our listening audience.
I guess the best way I could explain it, let me see here. If you know that you're going to reach a point in a certain goal, and all you have to do is keep doing one foot after the other in a specific process, whatever it may be, that process may be laid out for you by an awesome company that you've decided to join, or a specific goal that you wish to obtain, and you're basically following the footsteps of other people. As long as you're in love with that process, no matter if you're starting on, you know, starting from very step one. I mean, you know, a great journey begins with a single step. As long as you're in love with that process and you adhere to it and you don't change your direction, chances are you're going to end up where you want to go. Being in love with it means that you live it, you breathe it, you eat it, you think about it, and it continues to drive and spur on that inspiration, that deep down fire that you know, unleashes the most amazing energy, the most amazing potential, the most amazing creativity that just, you know, I just follow that every day. It's amazing. Being in love with the process. I mean, hey, every single one of us, I love to say this, I'll say it again. Every single one of us is in love with the process of breathing. Why are we in love with the process of breathing? And, you know, the funny thing is we completely take it for granted, but we're still in love with it because we do it every day. If you don't breathe, what's going to happen, guys? I mean, honestly. You there?
You will die.
Yeah, you're going to die.
We're here.
I mean, that's it. Life, done, over. So a lot of people sit there, and I know they complain about the situation that's going through their life, but if you go look back on it in just a different perspective, you're actually 100% in love with the process of living your life because you choose to breathe every day. Most people say, well, I don't choose to breathe. I just do it automatically. Well, tell that to a doctor who just, you know, who was there making sure that a baby breathes for the first time on its own when it actually is when it's born. I mean, you know, it is a quick instinctive process, but there's a lot of times where it could just cease to exist. There's a lot of people who are trying to live life and having breathing assist machines take care of them. So being in love with simple processes like that allows a humongous foundation for you to be in love with a process that may seem very time-consuming, they may seem tedious, but it really is only just a matter of change in the way you look at things. And I know change is tough at first, but once it grabs hold, that's it, man. You're off like a rocket. You're going where you want to go, when you want to go. And to top it all off, it's because you chose to get there. It's because it's your dream.
Well, I absolutely, unequivocally agree with you in the sense that we all are in 100% control of how we set our priorities on a daily basis. And is it to say that, you know, our priorities are going to be the exact same every single day? I don't think so. I think there's room within all of our priorities, as we mentioned, and everybody's going to be different. Everybody's got their own unique take on, you know, the order in which things are important to them in life. What matters is the fact that we stay on course and we keep moving forward. Comes back to what I said before about the fact that, you know, we don't have the ability to control 100% of the things that happen to us in our life. We can't control the events, but we can and we have to control the manner in which we react to the things that happen to us in life. Because there's a lot of things that happen. There's, you know, good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, you know, and how we choose to react to them is 100% determined by our attitude and our priorities in life. Because it's through those priorities, the priorities, I like to think of priorities as a moral compass, so to speak. It gives us the ability to take our moral compass and turn the process of how we use it into determining the way we react to literally anything and everything that comes at us on a daily basis. It's through the use of that moral compass and the law of priorities that we're able to make adjustments, stay on focus, and continue to do the things that are most important in our life that are going to lead us to the greatest reward. It comes back to the three questions that I had asked earlier in terms of applying the laws of priority. What is required of me? What gives the greatest return? What brings the greatest reward? Folks, if you're involved in a network marketing business, I challenge you to reevaluate the priorities of your own life in terms of how you share your business opportunity. Because I believe if you're with a reputable company, you've got a great product. If you build people instead of try and build your business will build itself. Because it's through the strength in the relationships you create with the people who join your business that will truly inspire them to do great things within your business. It's one of the neatest things about the industry of network marketing, unlike traditional brick-and-mortar businesses. Within the network marketing industry, the more knowledge you can give to another person, the more that you can equip that person to be able to do everything that you know how to do as good or better than you can do it yourself, the more you create leverage through time, because that person can be sharing
the same skill sets that you've shared with them with other people in different places at the same time. That's a valuable skill, because ultimately what it boils down to is you're paying it forward with the priority of relationships, placing people, the needs, wants, and desires of other people above the business itself. When you do that, I promise you, good things will happen, because the relationships that you create with others become so, so powerful. Guys, we've got about 5 minutes left on the show this morning, so I'm going to open it up. Mark, I want you to give us some thoughts this morning on, you know, what your priorities are for the remainder of the year and what you would like to see happen, you know, not just in your business, but, you know, as a nation and in life over the course of the coming months for the remainder of this year.
Well, you know, personally, I'd like to continue to grow, to finish up the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership for this second time, and make sure that I institute, you know, all of them, track them, make sure that I'm that on a civic level, just to, you know, impart and encourage people, you know, to think beyond the surface and to do the right thing, you know, just to affect the most good for the most people. I would just like to see, you know, America wake up and stay awake and not allow what they hear, you know, from the established, I don't call them mainstream anymore, established media, you know, to dictate their thoughts, because it's we're greater than that. And you know, for my family and my friends, I just want wellness. Just, you know, wellness be the best they can be.
Awesome. We live, folks, we live in an amazing time, because, you know, to surmise what my thoughts are for the remainder of this year. You know, the thing that lays heaviest on my heart is the fact that we live in both an amazing time of prosperity and an amazing time of complacency, because there are too many people in this great nation of ours who have become very complacent to their sick responsibilities, as Mark had mentioned before. And I would really, really love for people to wake up and realize that this is not a nation where we are entitled to take from the public treasury without contributing more to the public. What I mean by the public treasury is, you know, we hear people complaining about unemployment. We hear people complaining all the time about, you know, the medical care situation and everything else. And if my memory serves me correctly, this goes all the way back to biblical times, but our founding fathers also made it perfectly clear. No work, no eat. No one is entitled to anything in life except for the grace of God. And I would love for people to wake up and smell the roses, wake up and smell the coffee, and realize the immortal words that state, if it's gonna be, it's up to me. And stop blaming anyone but the reflection they see in the mirror for the situation they're in life, because we all control the outcome of our day, every day. Consequently, it's only through taking responsibility and then taking action to create a destiny that we want that we can have literally anything that we want in life. Folks,
We'll be back tomorrow morning. Troy should be back with us tomorrow morning, and we're going to be talking about the law of the sacrifice, law number 18 of the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. We hope you have a fantastic day today. God bless everybody. Mark, John, thank you for your input as always, and we'll see you all tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Bye.